Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 72, Running Tips for Every Runner. Welcome to the podcast for all runners, old and young, fast and slow, distance runners, and 5K specialists, beginners and veterans. I hope this podcast provides information that is helpful to you no matter where you are in your running career. If you're a runner, you're in the right place, and I'm glad you're here. I hope you'll visit the Mojo for Running website, where you'll find four training programs: the Walk to Run program, First 5K, First 10K, and First Half Marathon program. Today's episode is comprised of a very wide variety of running tips: tips about training and motivation, about carrying gear during a race, navigating aid stations, and much, much more. I asked for suggestions for this podcast on the Mojo for Running Facebook page a while back, so some of these tips will come from there, and of course, some will come from my 38 years of running. If you have any tips that I don't include, please go to the Facebook page and let us know, because I got so many tips this time that I'm definitely going to need to continue into another episode in order to keep this one at a reasonable length, which I know you appreciate. Then I'll add some of those that you send in, or all the ones that you send, to the next episode. If you're not on Facebook, then you can send those tips to deb@mojoforrunning.com. Tammy says, use Tide, white vinegar, and OxyClean to get the funky smell out of your running clothes. David says, wear light colors for races on sunny days. Britt says, run your own race. Don't waste time comparing yourself against others. Enjoy the run. Maria says, if it's important to track your miles, make sure you have a backup. At times, I have found that an app or watch can malfunction. I use a phone app and my Garmin watch to track my miles. From Brian Fulham, rest is not a four-letter word. Great, great advice, Brian. Brian, by the way, is a lifelong runner with an impressive running resume, but he's also a very well-known podiatrist here in the Tampa Bay area and actually around the country. I promise to interview him on a future episode. So if you have any questions for a podiatrist, especially a podiatrist who is himself a great runner, send them to me. Now on to his advice about rest, or more about it. More and more research is pointing to the advantage of getting more rest in all areas of life and health, and certainly running. I was just reading Carolyn Mather's most recent article in Running Journal titled, Handling Stress and Sleep to Enhance Your Running. Carolyn is a huge advocate of getting adequate rest, and if you Google her name and read of her achievements over the years, you'll have to admit she knows what she's doing. But equally important, she's done the research, and I should add she's an RN and PhD. In the article, she says, and I quote, you will be amazed how much sleep will improve not only your life, but your ability to deal with the avocation of running. Your body will run better, and you will recover much more quickly, close quotes. Carolyn provides a lot of sound information, sound advice, in that article in the February 2015 issue of Running Journal, so I highly recommend you read the whole thing. Philip Men says, buy the small bead size Loctite bags at a hobby store to carry electrolyte caps or analgesics during the race. Andrew says, keep a training log. He adds, keep your phone dry inside a Ziploc bag. The keys and fingerprint functions work through the plastic, too. Diane Bennett says, baby washcloths are great to carry while running for wiping the sweat off in the hot months to also blowing your nose in the cooler months, and they're inexpensive. Melissa Timpson says, always run in the rain when you have the opportunity. That makes me smile because Melissa's one of the first people I ever coached, and I still remember the first time we trained in the rain. She wasn't too happy about it at first, but by the time we finished the workout, she had discovered that it was delightful. I think she has wished for rain during every run since then. If you've never run in the rain, don't knock it until you try it. And no, it doesn't make you sick. That's an old wives' tale. Michael says, start supplementing with vitamin D in the fall to cover for the winter blues. reducing chances of stress fractures once race season starts. I'll add to that that it's critical to make sure you're getting enough of every vitamin and mineral, because as athletes, we stress our bodies much more than most people do. For example, I recently learned that my iron count is very low. I had no idea of this and had never had this experience before. Now my doctor has me on supplements and is carefully monitoring it. That's not at all uncommon, apparently, in runners to be low in iron. Of course, I am being very careful to eat more iron-rich foods because, as we all know, it's much better to get your vitamins and minerals in real food. Jeremiah Hartz says to read the book, How to Fix Your Feet. Josh says, during a race, no matter how tired you are, make sure it's water you're about to dump over your head. All brands of sports drinks burn your eyes enough to bring the best run to a halt. Ouch! That reminds me of a time I did something similar. I'll make that the next tip, and I apologize if I've mentioned this in a podcast before. When I was on a bridge during one of the first marathons I ever did, I was having major chafing issues. It was about two-thirds of the way through the race. I had a shirt tied around my waist and what we used to call a fanny pack on. It was cold, and of course, I was sweaty. So I was chafing in several spots, despite having applied Glide hours before. So when I ran past a first aid station where a man was holding up a popsicle stick with a glob of goo on the end, I assumed it was Vaseline. I reached over, swiped it, and then immediately proceeded to apply it in a nonstop motion. I went from place to place on my body, applying it as quickly as I could. It was some other form of ointment, though, because by the time I finished spreading it in the last spot, and all of this, by the way, took seconds, I recognized the familiar smell of wintergreen. It was not Vaseline, and it stung like crazy. But because it was greasy, I couldn't wipe it off, or as I tried to, it just hurt worse. It was not a good experience. My next tip is from Dana. Learning the art of the former farmer blow or snot rocket is invaluable. Alicia Bouvet says, always wear sunscreen. Maria Williams says, when you grab a cup of water in a race, pinch the cup and create a funnel as soon as you grab it so you don't spill and it's easier to drink. That's from our own coach, Maria, the head coach for my Run Tampa club, by the way. Joanne says, learn how not to develop plantar fasciitis, if there is an answer. Joanne, I do think there is. One of my next episodes will be about feet, and we'll discuss PF for sure. Rolf Velik says, my tips are about creative ways to juggle and manage time for training and struggling with this during crazy holiday periods. As mentioned in a prior podcast, it is better to get 1 mile in rather than nothing. For example, I'll run the 2.6 miles to work and the same back home. In my bike or car, it is 20 to 24 minutes round trip. Running is 40 to 45 minutes round trip. That is leveraging nearly a half hour of time for extra miles. I use a backpack that supports a laptop for running, and I keep extra clothes at work. I suggest for short errands, such as to mail a package or quick trip to the store, use a small backpack and run. Many small trips, depending on where one lives, can, with a little extra time, be combined with training. This can be done by driving partway to a destination, including work or the store, and running the last few miles. Believe it or not, I have done this for dinner meetings downtown. Lastly, when driving home or to visit family, I've often had my wife drop me off at a great spot to get in a good long run going home. It gives me an early relief from the car ride. I'm not a fan of being in the cage, and some quality miles to the destination. This is particularly good for getting in some point-to-point routes one's typically not done. Lots of great stuff there, Rolf. Philip Min says, to say thanks to every police officer and volunteer. Great advice. He also adds, never believe any race director who tells you it will be mostly flat and fast. Ha ha, I hear you, Philip. That's like when you're doing a marathon and you run past spectators at mile 20 and trying to be encouraging, they all yell, "You're almost there." When I hear this, I always think, clearly they've never done a marathon. It always makes me chuckle, though, and like Philip, I very much appreciate that they're out there. Philip had a third tip. Always bring sunglasses for a marathon. Even on overcast days, they will allow you not to squint and relax your facial muscles in the late miles. Michael Wilsey says, paper tape can help prevent bleeding nipples on long runs and is easy to remove when finished. Everyday deodorant works well to prevent chafing in sensitive areas. Harold says, I'm finding duct tape to be a great hot spot protector and callus preventer on my feet. He adds, for long runs or later in races, mix ginger green tea in with your electrolyte solution to take advantage of ginger for nausea and caffeine for the boost. He says he uses Tailwind Naked. The next two comments are actually questions, and I would appreciate input from any of you listeners. Deborah Porchline asks, what do you do with all the race bibs and medals? Good question. Personally, I put them in shoeboxes. Well, at least I put the bibs in shoeboxes. Some of my medals are hanging in various places around the house, but I have to admit I've never done very much in the way of displaying them, and I need to. I certainly don't think shoeboxes are a good solution. When I was a teacher, I got the idea from another English teacher to post my race bibs on the wall behind my desk. That was very inspirational for the kids. You know, they don't think English teachers do anything except read. The next question is from Kelly Gertz. She asks about injury prevention tips. That's a great question, and I want everyone to send me their suggestions to that and also Deborah's question about race bibs and medals. I will definitely do another podcast on those topics. Now, back to advice. Elizabeth says, keep your running stuff separate from everything else. I have a dresser for my running clothes and a wine chest that holds my running stuff. Bibs, hats, hydration belt, Runner's World magazines, main shoes, watch, etc. That way, it's all together and there's no search for things. I plan to stick my race stickers on the outside, kind of like an old suitcase look. And now a couple of tips from me. If you don't have a GPS watch and want to know the mileage of a particular route, of course, you can use one of the many apps on your smartphone. But if you don't want to carry your phone or something goes awry, you can always go to the website GMAPS Pedometer. You can just input that as a search. Search GMAPS, that's the letter G, MAPS Pedometer. You can put in the starting address there, and it will let you view a map where you can click along your route, and it'll show you the mileage. Then you can actually save the route. If you're planning a group run or want a map of the route for your friends, this is very helpful. There are other programs as well, such as Map My Run, that will also do this. I believe there's a free version and a paid version that will allow you to give the route a name, describe the route, etc. That can be a huge benefit, and I'm not sure what you get for the paid version as opposed to the free version, but you can also, there's a way you can find maps that other people you may know have made, or you can just do a search for a certain area and find maps and mileage, etc. Back in the day, and some of you other older runners will remember this, if we wanted to know the mileage of a route, we'd have to drive it off in the car. I'll tell you a story about how this could be a problem, though. My brother, Milt, had just finished a long run late in the day in the dark. Now, this was probably in the late 70s, maybe early 80s. When he returned home, he got in the car to drive it off to measure the distance he'd run. Well, he had run through a shopping center parking lot along in front of a line of stores. Well, when a cop saw him slowly cruising through a parking lot in front of a row of stores at 11 p.m., he pulled him over because he was afraid my brother was planning to break into one of those stores. Ha, that's pretty funny. Sometimes runners look suspicious because we're outside the norm in more ways than one. If we're out driving about on a weekend at 5 a.m., it's because we're headed out to go for a run. But most people out at that time have been out all night. That's ironic because the runner was probably actually in bed by 9 p.m. Those two people are exact opposites. Okay, that's all for this episode of Tips. Like I said, I've got many more tips, but I'll do that in another episode before very long. If you have ideas I haven't mentioned, please go to the Mojo for Running Facebook page and mention them there, or send them to deb@mojoforrunning.com. One more thing. I want to thank all the people who send me testimonials about this podcast and all the people who have left reviews and rated this podcast in iTunes. That is a wonderful way of saying thank you, and I want you to know I appreciate you. I love receiving them, and I'm very appreciative. I love having a chance to meet some of my listeners as well. For the first 5 years of this podcast, I had no way of knowing how many listeners I had. I knew I had quite a few, and they were around the world because I got quite a few emails. What many people don't know, though, is that iTunes does not provide any stats to podcasters besides that little bar graph that we can all see next to each podcast episode, and that seems to change a lot from day to day, oddly. Anyway, in order to get stats, the podcaster must work with one of a couple of different companies to get those stats. So, in March of 2014, almost a year ago, and after almost 5 years of producing this podcast, I switched the website and home base for the podcast, for this podcast, from a Squarespace website to WordPress and started using the Blueberry plugin for statistics. Now I can tell you that in less than a year, this podcast has been downloaded by 72,000 unique users and in 114 countries. Wow, that is so exciting to me. I just can't even tell you. Thank you. And do please send me your feedback, comments, questions, and suggestions. A huge thanks to a new listener, Bob Samala, and I may have butchered that name, who posted on the Mojo for Running Facebook page just recently. I just found your podcast. I love it. You share so much great information and insight. I'm going to share it with my running group. Thanks, Coach Debbie. Thank you, Bob. Now today's quote. I don't have downtime is the grown-up version of my dog ate my homework. That's a good one for me personally. I always have to remind myself to stop letting other people make my life busy and to remember that I set my priorities. I am the boss. I come from a long line of people pleasers, and sometimes that means I get pulled off track by small things. Of course, I love helping people, but I have learned to work at maintaining balance in order to make sure I have some me time. I always try to catch myself when I start to think I don't have time for something that matters to me. I frequently have to remind myself that you must make time for the things that matter. Thanks to all you listeners for making time to listen to this podcast. I want you to know that you matter to me, and that's why I keep doing it.